areas. I've been teaching on the call of God, and we talked a little bit about the various gifts, and we're going to do likewise. Go back to Mark chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. It says, and we're talking about the call of God and the gifts of God, the calling of God. Jesus called the 12 apostles, and he go out into a mountain and called unto him whom he would. And they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. That's Mark chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. And the question we'd ask ourselves, have we ever asked ourselves, what does God want me to do, and what's the will of God for my life, or what's the purpose of my life? What's the reason am I here? And, you know, there's different reasons why we're here. I mean, there's a purpose for us. God designed this world, and he designed us. He designed the church. And Paul said some things about the call of God on his life, which should really, you know, mark a distinctive idea of what, you know, what we should expect. And he talked about here in Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. I'm reading the King James Version. He said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Now we know from his letters written to the church that he wasn't always functioning in that apostolic calling. He didn't go right into the apostolic work. The Bible says that in Timothy, that he is first a preacher. Now, everybody here is called to be a preacher. That is to you know, tell the world about the good news. And of course, you see in 2 Corinthians, you know, it talks about in there that we're all called to be ministers of reconciliation, every one of us, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, 18, 19, and 20. It talks about in there that we're all called to spread the message of the gospel. Every one of us is called to do that. And so Paul said he was first called to be a preacher. Then he said, I was called to be a teacher. And of course, he's a prophet because he, you know, if you're an apostle, you also have other areas. You know, the apostle functions in every other area, the prophetic. He can see into the realm of the spirit and see what God wants him to do. So an apostle can function in that area. He can function as a missionary or to start churches. And I was just listening with my wife today. We were listening to Brother Hagin on the call of God, and he said something very interesting. The actual word he said, I'm an apostle. That word apostle is the Greek word apostolos, which means sent one. God called him and sent him to do the work of the ministry. Well, we can say, you know, all of us have been called in ministry. We're actually sent ones as well. So we're called to set things and start things, and to minister the gospel. You know, there are different levels of apostleship. And the first ones we saw was the apostles of the Lamb, the 12 apostles are. Nobody will ever stand in that kind of office, ever, again. Of course, Paul was not one of them, and yet he's called an apostle. And then you see down the line some numerous others in the New Testament that are called apostles. But they were not one of the apostles of the Lamb. See, you have to, if you misunderstand, you don't divide the word of God, you'll misinterpret what he's saying or misunderstand. Like one guy, he was mad at me because we advertised that Paul, or at least my pastor, was coming, and he, you know, he's been labeled to be an apostle, you know, as one of our guest speakers. So he pulled out his finances from, you know, supporting Spirit Alive Television. And he's got money, and he used to send at least every time he sent a special offering, he'd send like $10,000. Well, you don't want to lose $10,000, but you still have to tell the truth. And Pastor Rick, no doubt, is an apostle. If you start a church and you and you're called to have distinctively have some kind of message to an area, you might not be called to the whole world to be an apostle. Paul was called to be an apostle to the whole world, but specifically speaking, sometimes people are called to a region to start something and they have a special message or a specific time in history. Say, for instance, you have Smith Wigglesworth, who was called an apostle of faith. Well, he was sent by God to start, give a message of faith to the body of Christ everywhere. And so we today talk about that. And so there's levels of apostleship. And there's a number of people in the New Testament that are called apostles. So they're sent forth. For example, over there in the 14th chapter, the book of Acts, in chapter 1 to 4, it says that Paul and Barnabas, and it enumerates a number of them who were praying together. And it called each one of them, it called them a teacher, and a prophet or a prophet. So they were either a teacher or an apostle or both or one of the other. But a number of them were enumerated in that particular specific scripture in Acts chapter 13. Then in verse 4, somewhere on there it says, and they were sent forth, and God said, tell Barnabas and Saul, send them out. I'm sending them out. And it says in verse 4, it says, they were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Well, God is the Holy Ghost. The Father God is the Holy Ghost, and he is the Son as well. So it is sent forth. Then in the 15th chapter, the next chapter, the 14th chapter, in verse 14, he says, they were evidently called a teacher or a prophet. Then in verse 14, they were called apostles. So Paul was not originally, he didn't function as an apostle in the beginning, so you never really start off on the top rung, so to speak. Because God has to train you. He has to see your faithfulness. And as you go forth, and you're faithful to the call of God, and you don't get thrown off because you have a bad day and you quit the ministry, or have a bad year or bad 5 years and you quit the ministry. You don't quit the ministry because you don't have money. But remember this, when God calls you, he always furnishes the means by which you can attain to stay into the ministry. Or any other place. If God called you here at Faith City Church, God will provide a way for you to stay here. If you deem that's what God called you. If you didn't know God called you here, you would run off the first time you see trouble. And so whenever you're called somewhere, you don't just leave because you know you have a commitment to God. Can you say amen? Praise God. Amen? So, you know, there's reasons. You know, the Bible says that in 1 John, I believe it is, over there, chapter 5 and verse 19, it talks about, let's go look at it. You know, even the devil knew what he's called to do. You know? First of all, let's just go ahead and read John 10:10 first and then look at another scripture here. Thank you, Lord God. John chapter 10, verse 10. Let's go look at that. If you don't have a Bible, if you look at the screen and read from the screen. If you're just taking notes, we'll all take good notes. Jesus is contrasting himself, the purpose that he was sent forth, and the purpose of what the devil was sent forth. You have to understand, you're stronger when you know what you're supposed to do. And you'll stay put when you know where you're supposed to stay, when you discover what you're supposed to be doing. So Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill and destroy. Well, anywhere you see somebody stealing something, you know, things are being stolen from people and killing and destroying, you know it's the devil's activity. They're working under the devil's power. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. Now, I have to understand the word life here is a zoe, L-O, or excuse me, Z-O-E, which is the God kind of life, or the life of God, the life, the kind of life God has, it's everlasting life, and it's a life of abundance, a life, a blessed life. And so it says, notice it says, I'm come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. You know, somebody said, if you're not enjoying life, abundant life, you're not enjoying life, maybe you're in the wrong, spot. But of course, you see other scriptures that when God calls you somewhere, he'll supply whatever you need. And we, you know, generally speaking, we can always believe God for any supply because the Lord is your shepherd. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, a shepherd, what does a shepherd do? First of all, a shepherd is someone who takes care of the sheep. And they nurse the sheep, they take care of them and watch over them, lead them and feed them, clean them up. You know, if something comes along, like a wolf, he chases that off. And just like, you know, what David said, he chased after, when he's keeping the sheep, is a picture of Jesus, right? And when the bear came, he'd kill the bear and he'd kill the lion. Well, he's protecting. And that's what Jesus is doing for us. When we follow him, he protects us. We can always expect protection when you're walking with God. If you're walking in the plan of God, you know, of course, you can get off and do your own thing and get attacked. You can't say that God let you down. No, you let yourself down, or you didn't follow where you're supposed to be. I remember hearing a story, Brother Keith Moore telling a story. He was doing healing school. And he's telling a story about, you know, he was teaching about being led by the Spirit. And some lady, you know, she's praying and she's going to the north side of Tulsa. I think some of you, if you remember, north side is a tough part of town. You don't want to go to north side. They call them shoot 'em up alley. So there's lots of activity going on. You don't want to go. So this lady thought she was supposed to go there, so she went over there, drive over there, told her that, you better not go there. She said, oh, no, I prayed, I covered myself. But in her prayer time, she sensed something that she shouldn't go there, so she, instead of checking, you know, with that witness, she rebuked that, whatever it was, didn't check it out, she rebuked it and sort of bound the devil and just went ahead anyway against the check. She didn't really figure out what the check was, so she just figured, you know, I'm going there. I just sense a warning. And so she went ahead and got mugged. And somebody stole. Of course, the devil is behind it. And so she was really upset because she said, you know, I prayed and I did all that, but I sensed something that I shouldn't have been there at first place. So, you know, of course, God wants to lead us. He leads all of us. And if we just don't check and follow that leading, then, of course, we can't blame God. And sometimes we blame God for things. Or we said, make it out that the devil is so big and large that he just broke through God's armor and attacked you. So sometimes, you know, we prayed about things. I remember in 1987, my wife and I went to Tulsa in 1986 the first time. We heard Brother Hagin speak and Jerry Savelle. And a number of other preachers at that time, we went to a conference, an FCF conference. And our pastor at that time was Kevin Ashby, and he was going to a conference, which he was under FCF. He was under, you know, the Harrisons. Of course, that's Mrs. Harrison, his Brother Hagin's daughter, Pat Harrison. So we went to that meeting and had a wonderful time. You know, you know, you have to understand when God calls you to do something, you have to check out the you know, the witness on the inside of you. So let's go look at this again, come again that story later. So I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So God wants us to have the God. Notice in the over here. In the, the Amplified Classical Edition, it says, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have and enjoy life, you know, and have it in abundance, to the full, till it overflows. Well, you know what? I'm not overflowing, but I'm blessed. I want to be overflowing. I want to obey God even more. And maybe I have more little leeway than some other people, but because I, you know, I guess the further up in the things of God you go, the less leeway you have. You know, sometimes you have more leeway if you don't know anything, you know. So the mercy of God. So he said that you might enjoy life, the Amplified says, of John 10:10. So I always think about this. So if I'm not enjoying life, I must be out of joint somewhere. I must be out of sync with God somewhere. I'm not having abundance. And I think about this. I would say this, and I thought about this earlier. I said, I am enjoying my best ministry in my life. I've never had the success I have in ministry. I feel good on the inside. You know, I think more money is coming to the ministry, both ministries, Spirit Alive, and I've never had more abundance in financially speaking in the ministry. I'm enjoying all of it personally. I'm talking about the whole, generally speaking, the ministry, you know. And success in terms of enjoying the fellowship of the church in the city, the whole church at large, and having fun with the men of God that I work with, and having recognition maybe perhaps more than ever had in my life, not only just in the city but across Canada. People know Spirit Alive, and they know who I am across, not only here but over in the States. So in many respects, I'm enjoying life. And I'm not doing without. You know, I was telling the guys the other day, hey, you know, I own my house. You know, I literally own it. And when we got back from Tulsa in 2000, I said, by the time I'm 60, I'm going to have my own house. I'll pay it off. So we paid every 2 weeks. We took money and we paid our house off every 2 weeks. We found out how to pay off your house quicker and knock off all the interest and all that. So we paid it quicker than we would have. I would have had maybe 30 years or more, but it took us, you know, just about 20 years or 18 years, I think, we paid our house. That particular house we had, anyway. Because we had some money from our other house, we put it into this other house. So I own my house now for a few years. I mean, you know, just, I mean, you have to understand, I lived in a tent. You know, I mean, I lived in a house before. I didn't have any electricity. I mean, to me, that's rich. I mean, you might not think, you might have grew up in that, but I never did. So I never had anything, so I feel like I'm rich. And so, you know, to own something and to own my vehicles, and I don't have any big debt. I don't want to own any company, any money. So I'm doing good. So I think about that, and yet I've had the hardest time in ministry in many ways, in other ways than I ever had in my life. You understand what I'm saying? I've had the most challenges physically. I could tell you about what happened to my body, but I won't waste time telling you that. I want you to feel sorry for me because I know what I go through. I know the medical appointments that I've gone through. And I had the most challenges, physically speaking, and mentally, and in my social life in some areas, and in my family. The hardest, I could say this to you, although I've enjoyed very good success in my ministry, and yet I've suffered in my personal life more ways that would make any minister want to quit. Amen. And so, but I didn't. I haven't. I'm not going to. And I tell the devil, I ain't quit. I'm never going to quit. It's too late to quit. We've been doing this for a while. You know, first of all, who wants to, you know, like, nobody's rushing into the ministry to start churches anywhere. You know, it's not a good business to get into. I tell you, it's hard to be a pastor. You don't get any recognition. I'm talking to be like, you know, Rodney Dangerfield. You got no respect. You know, I mean, pastors don't get no respect. You don't say, I go to university. What are you going to be? I'm going to the ministry. I'm going to be a pastor. They say, what? Because I remember nobody wants to be a pastor. I was telling my mom and dad before, I'm going to university now, and I'm actually quitting university. I just finished my master's degree. I was going to my PhD program in Eastern Ontario, and I quit right in between there, and I said, I'm going to the ministry. You're going to do what? You know, and so, you know, following the call of God is really not, you know, like, you know, you have to think about some things. You got to make sure God called you before you make a commitment. Because I want to enjoy everything else. I thought about, hey, if I just join the government, I'll join like my friends. They all have government jobs, and they're all golfing now. You know, I could have been doing the same thing, but I'm not. You know, I don't have a full pension. So you do give up some things to follow God sometimes, but He always pays up. Amen. And so. We went to Tulsa, and it was the first time we heard Brother Hagin speak there. And we, you know, they said, oh, we're going to have a tour. You know, some of the guys said, we're going to Rhema. I said, what's Rhema? So we're going to go visit Rhema. That's where Pastor Kevin went to Bible school. So let's go visit that. It was actually, I think it was after one evening meeting, and it was over early, so it was still daylight. So we went to drive over to Rhema in the back roads. I think it was probably 91st Street or 101 or something, all the way back up there to up north to Rhema from Tulsa. So we were actually in the Oral Roberts University area in one of those, you know, those hotels, nice hotels, and we were just down the street from it. It was like 100 degrees, Anita, remember? It was so hot. Like, how could anybody live here? You know? So we went there, we toured outside. We couldn't go inside, of course. We just drove around the campus, looked around. Oh, yeah, it's fine, it's nice, it's okay, you know. I thought it would be a spectacular place, you know, just look at it. And, oh, yeah, it's okay. It's a nice little building. But never knowing that I'm going to come back there. In 1989, when the Lord spoke to me to go to school, is it 98, excuse me, 1998. So when he does call, you know, he'll give you a desire on the inside of you, and if you're not careful, that desire is so small, that voice on the inside of that witness, you'll miss it. Unless you know from before something was there. Like I said, when you get around Christians, that's when that thing comes out of you. Because iron sharpens iron. And, you know, you get around different people. So I was saying this, like following God, and when you follow Him, the call of God, there will always be resources available for you. There will always be the blessing of God for you. He'll provide for you. And it doesn't mean that you're going to be, be on top, but you'll have challenges. The devil will make sure he'll try to challenge you, you know. If you're called to come to Faith City Church, and God really wants you to come here, you might have some challenges, you know, to come back. And so I remember some of you know that Pastor Glenn, you know, he was running away from the call of God. He wants to play hockey all weekend, and I mean, he's called to the ministry. I knew he was called to me. I kept bugging him for years. I said, Pastor Glenn, you need to come and pastor the church. We want to start over here. We want to do this. And, oh, no, no. And every time we drive somewhere, we see Pastor Glenn. We were just happened to be driving to Winnipeg, I believe it was, or Kenora. And he was walking down on Highway 17. Walking. I stopped and saw him. I said, Pastor Glenn, how you doing? What about that thinking? I'm thinking about, you know, starting something. Can you start? He said, oh, no, no, no. I'm just going to take another job. I'm going up north again. But he got into trouble. And I don't know if it was part of it, but he got trouble. He got some really, we went to visit him in the hospital. He was like really sick. And he turned himself to God. He said, I'm going to obey God. He's pastoring today. Amen. Amen. And somebody else over here, same kind of problem. And he said, oh, we're gonna move back to Southern Ontario. You know, I got this going for me. There's money there. There's security there, finances and so on, and left. And before that, I think somewhere on the line, something happened, right? You know, almost died. We went to visit him in a hospital. I'm not saying it's going to happen to you, but it could be. I mean, he's called the pastor. He's over here now. Praise God, you know. Here's what I understood. I mean, here's two guys that had something wrong with their ticker. And almost died. Brother Hagin, he says that in September, the Lord said to him, appeared to him and said, I have called you before you were born. And the devil tried to kill you many times since he was born. He said, but my angels have been there protecting you. And the Lord tried to kill you before you were born. He was born premature. He almost died. They were actually going to throw him away. He's just a little premature kid until they saw he was moving. And they fed him with a little tube, like one of those eye drop things. They fed him. That's how they fed him, kept him alive. So the Lord appeared to him and said, I called you before you're born. Just like in, the book of Isaiah, when Isaiah said, God says, I called you before you're born. And over in Galatians, Paul said that God called me from my mother's womb. Chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1. He said, I called you when you were in your mother's womb. So he says to him, Satan tried to kill you. And he said, I'm giving you, you are to teach faith to my people. Teach faith. I've allowed you to go through many experiences. I taught you through my word, the message of faith, and I've allowed you to go through a number of experiences. Now go teach my people faith. He says two things that God gave me. Number one is to teach people faith. Number two, he said, I've given you a special anointing to minister to the sick. So number one was teaching faith. Number two is minister to the sick. I'm giving you a special anointing. So he gave him a special anointing for that. And so he went out and teach. And listen to me. I heard many stories of Brother Hagin, but I heard inside stories today that I never heard before. It sounded glorious when he was talking about it, but to go where he went to, there was a lot of stuff that went on. We hear all the good side of the story. And so anyway, he said that he had a heart attack. And the Lord came to him and said to him, the reason why you had a heart attack, he said, you got out of my perfect will and got into the permissive will where Satan had access to you. He went out. He wasn't selling drugs or, you know, committing adultery and going to bar. He just got out of the will of God. He said, I told you to teach people faith and you're doing your own thing. I told you to do the to do all these things, but you haven't been following me. So that happened to him twice, where he got really injured. And of course, these guys are, they're really, they had a message for the world. Some of us, you know, we have a little bit more leeway, hopefully. But apparently, something about, you know, these guys here. But I know that every time we get out of the will of God, we get into trouble. You think about David. David got into adultery and because he was not in the will of God. He got off and he did what he wanted to do and got into a mess and had a child with somebody and the child died because of it. You know, so, what are you saying? Well, I'm just saying, you know, it's better to stick with the Lord. Don't go off on your own and say, okay, you know. The reason I mentioned Tulsa in the first place was this, because when we went there in 1986 and 87 came along, then we went to another conference where Brother Hagin was speaking. He says, in 1987, this year before you and I went there to visit. He said, 1987, we were preparing for a convention for summer Bible, camp meeting, to call it. And he says, I was in the spirit, I was praying, and all of a sudden I'm caught up in the rafters. Jesus took me up, and I could see the whole convention center from where I was. It's like, you know, like one of those cams, you know, you can see everybody. He said, I'm up there, and I could see all the people worshiping and praising God. And the Lord's pointed out to me, you see these guys in the front row? He said, oh, those are all my ministers. And they're praying and asking me to bless their ministry. He said, but I only can go so far because some of their areas of plans is not in my plan of, they want to do some things in projects that I never called them to do. But yes, they're called in the ministry. See, you could be called to do something, but maybe you get off on certain areas. That's why I always believe that if I'm a pastor, I can't just pastor on myself. There's got to be other people coming with skills and finances and resources and whatever it is to do what God called us to do. So I always believe that people who come here, they'll bring something. They'll bring their faith. They'll bring their prayer. They'll bring their skills. They'll bring their finances. Because you could have all the skills, but you don't have finances, you can go down. You know? And so, thank God for what he... So he said, I'm come that they might have life, they might have it more abundantly. So the Amplified says that you might enjoy life. That you might enjoy life. That you might enjoy it. So sometimes if you ask yourself, hey, am I enjoying this? And ask yourself, why are you not enjoying it? Maybe there's an area that you're not. You know, he talked about this the other day. He said, I was enjoying the best years of my life in ministry ever. Everything was being blessed in my life. My family was blessed. My ministry was blessed. But there was something on the inside of me. There's something not right. Now, I'm living right before God. I'm praying. I'm doing something. I'm doing the ministry. But he said, there's something not right about my life. So he prayed about it. And the Lord said to him, I first of all, didn't call you to be a pastor. He said, it felt like washing your feet with your socks on. He said, that's the kind of thing it felt like, you know? And so he discovered that he was in the wrong place and God called him to do something different. And so, he discovered that he was not doing what he's supposed to do. Let's go over here to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. Let's look at this scripture for a second. You know, the devil knows what he wants to do. let's see here. I can't seem to find the scripture. I know this scripture here, it says that, could it be verse 8? Okay, maybe, let's see here. Let me just find... I might have the wrong reference. I believe I have the wrong reference, but that's a good scripture that I wanted to give you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible, the Amplified Bible. Let me just see here. It says, the one who practices sin, separating himself from God and offending him by the acts of disobedience, indifference, or rebellion is of the devil and takes his inner character and moral value from him, not from God. For the devil has sinned and violated God's law from the beginning. So we know that the devil's behind, you know, sin. He's always trying to get us into doing things that's not right, you know. You know, doesn't mean if you're weak and you fell off, doesn't mean you're of the devil. Because sometimes, you know, we do fall off, different ones of us. We've had all of us here. I would say there's nobody in here that's not, of this. We've all had bouts where we've given to some area where we've been weak. This is not what we're talking about. This is somebody who just says, I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to smoke weed as much as I possibly can and sleep with everyone. That's the thing, you know, like that. I'm saying, I don't care what God thinks about it. That's not what he's talking about. This is what he's actually referring to. But it's not the guy who, you know, he just has a weak moment and he falls off for a little bit. And, you know, anybody knows that anybody here who is of God and you fall into something, it's not because, you know, you want to. It's just that you had some weak time. You were given to temptation. This is not what he's talking about. So he says here, the last section, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, is to destroy the works of the devil. So, God, Jesus knew what he came for. You know, and he told Titus over here, if you go here, Jesus knew that what he was called to do. I think the other version of that verse of scripture is that he was manifested that he might destroy, the King James says, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's what Jesus came here, to destroy the works of the devil. So we're part of that thing. We're part of what God wants us to help other people, and we need to get cracking here with that. Let's go to Titus chapter 1. This is a letter to a pastor, a man of God, and Paul is writing to him. And of course, Paul knew what God wanted him to do. Paul, servant of Jesus Christ, an apostle, a servant of God, and of the apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began, but has in this due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Verse 4. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith. See, this is his protege, mentoring mentee. Grace, mercy, and peace. How many people know you need grace, mercy, and peace if you're in leadership, for sure? you need that. From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Verse 5. For this cause I left thee in Crete. He's telling this man the purpose of what was going on in his life. And he needed to know what he was supposed to do. For this cause, or for this reason, I left you in Crete, that you might set things in order that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed you. So he had a purpose to minister to church and raise up a church and to minister there in that area where God wanted them to stay. So it's better to know what you're called to do. Let's look at here, for instance, you know, the Bible says the gifts. Romans 11:29 says the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance, or God never changes his mind when he calls you to do something. Even if you walked away from it right now and 20 years later, that call will still be there. Guaranteed, if you live that long. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it'll be there for you to come back to. Here's a story that was related to me. Here's a young man. He had a great ministry, a large church, large ministry in the States. And he was very great with his ministry. And he married this woman. And this woman ran off with someone else. And so his wife left him, and so he got divorced. And so his church or his denomination dismissed him and threw him out of the fellowship. So now he's working as a car dealership, man. He's working in a very successful as a car dealership, mogul or whatever you want to call him. But, you know, he's like, if you were, we were there at Toyota today. We were at Toyota. We were at Thunder Bay Auto. You know, Toyota looks a whole lot better than Thunder Bay Auto. Because auto parts, and one is like a selling brand new cars. You go in there, everybody is worshiping everything. I mean, the I mean, the whole place is wonderful, and this makes you so feel so good. It's like an experience going in there, like, ah. You walk in there, right? Everything's shiny and clean, and they want to make you buy cars, right? Right? You ever been there somewhere like that? And you simply like go to the mall. It's just wonderful. Everything smells nice. People are nice to you, and they want to make you buy things. So anyway, so this guy, now he's, this pastor, he got kicked out of the ministry. Now he's working in a dealership. And the Lord, you know, the Lord came to him in a way there, and he said, and this scripture, Romans 11:29, the gifts and callings are God without repentance. He said to him, I called you. He said, you mean to say that even though my wife left me and now I've been divorced, that the call is still there? He said, yes. The Lord said to him, the call is still there. He said, I'm not going to dismiss you because your wife went off and did something else, didn't want to stay in the ministry. God will not disqualify a man for somebody else's sin. The call is still there. And so God called him, and you think about, you know, Catherine Kuhlman, you know, she had a divorce, and yet God used her worldwide in the healing ministry, and many people dismissed her because she was a woman who was married before. You know, and you think about you know, different ones who have been in the ministry before like that. And God will not dismiss somebody. And I heard Pastor Mack one time say, you know, you ever heard the scripture saying the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing? And that's what the Lord said. If there's something there in your life that's, if I call you and the anointing of God's on you, you can expect this, that anything that's going to stop you from going ahead will be destroyed. Jesus said, I come, you know, to undo and destroy the works of the devil. So thank God for his calling on our lives. That's going to be there no matter what. And some of you might have made a mess of your life, but God, the call is still there. Hallelujah. It's the happiest place to be where God wants you to be. Right? So when God calls you, he'll equip you, or he'll anoint you. He'll give you the equipment to follow him. You know, even, you know, like, just you know, you think about this for a second. I'm thinking about you guys. You come here every week, and you're cleaning up the place, and you just like act like it's the best thing in the whole world. Why? Because God put it in there. When God put it in something, it's just wonderful just to, whoo, just clean up the auditorium, right? You just love it, because God put it in your heart to do something, and it is so refreshing and wonderful to serve God and do something for God. And by the way, we appreciate all the work you put into it, and it's wonderful to come to a clean building, and thank God for the auditorium. It's nice and fresh because you guys put it to work. Where's your husband? Is he here? He's on the camera. Okay, praise God. So God knows where you should be, where he places you. He knows where you should be. He knows how to connect you with people that you should be. You know, I pray, you know, that in the morning I usually pray, Lord, give us divine appointments. We have Holy Ghost setups. You know, Holy Ghost encounters with people. I thank God for the ministry that, you know, of the Holy Spirit, because he brings things together. Let me just go closer in a moment here. God is the one who strategically places us in the body of Christ as he planned. He predetermines our calling, our gifts, and where we are to be utilized. He sets the times and places and the people. Paul uses the human body as an example for the spiritual body of Christ. He says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, the New Living Translation, he says, but our bodies have many parts. Did you ever notice that? But God has put each part just where it wants it. You know? So you put the eyeballs over here, not in the back of your head. The eyeball is put there for a reason. And for that, we need to understand that God puts us, that's how he uses. He uses the human body as an illustration where God places you. For you to do something all out of the will of God would be like putting your eyeball in the back of your head or something, or under your feet. It would be useless. So God wants to employ you in the best place you should be, to be appreciated, to be loved and by people, right? You should be celebrated. You know, people love you and care for you where you're supposed to be. God places us in this world as it pleased him. He determines our geographical areas, our locations. It says in Acts chapter 17:26, the Amplified Classical, he said, he made from one common origin, one source, one blood, all nations of men to settle on the face of the earth, having definitely predetermined their allotted periods of time and fixed boundaries of their habitation, their settlements, lands, and abodes. So we're strategically placed even at this time in the, so we wouldn't want to go anywhere else because that's where God places us. A friend of mine, an older person, said, okay, so what? I'm living in Thunder Bay. I choose to live here. Okay, there's lots of snow. There's lots of snow, and we're having a hard time, but I decide to live here. We know some people who moved to Markham, Ontario. And all of a sudden, it's 14 degrees here. Shut up. Oh, man. So we're called to serve people, called to serve certain people. Like over here, I believe God has called us to certain locations and places with certain people. Like Paul was called to the Gentiles and Peter was called to the Jews. Notice in Galatians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Instead, they saw that God had given to me the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as he had given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. The same God who worked through Peter as an apostle to the Jews also worked through me as an apostle to the Gentiles. See, they were had different strategies. He just didn't say, I don't really like these kind of Gentiles. I'll go over here and do these ones. They were, I don't want these guys because they were trying to stone me. These other guys tried to put me in prison. I'm getting out of here. So, hey, you might be stoned sometimes. You might have some shipwreck sometimes, and you might be on waters for days. But God, if God called you, you're going to make it to the other side, right? So Jesus was with his 12 apostles, right? Or not the 12 apostles, but some of them. That's Peter, James, and John. They're on the boat, right? They're with Jesus, the King of Kings, the man who created the world. And a big wind came and the storm came and they're just about to die. And he said, Jesus, don't you care about us? Don't you ever go through tough times in your life where you say, Jesus, where are you? God, where are you? He said, I'm sitting on the boat. And he says, use your faith. Right? And Paul, he's called by God. God called him in Acts chapter 9. God called him. And yet he's in Acts chapter 27. He's going to see Caesar. He's on this, and he's on a ship that's going down almost. Like they haven't seen the sun for I don't know how long? For many, many days. They haven't seen the sun, and they're up and down in the water. And I think Craig could talk about that water business, being in the ship. And so they're in the ship. You might be like him. And you might be in a storm right now, and you're going through a tough time. But here's what he said. I believe God. I am of God. I am a child of God. I am called of God. And I believe God. Even in the toughest time of his life, he said, I believe God. And we are, I don't know what you're going through. I know what I'm going through. But I keep saying, Lord, This ain't the last word. And I tell the devil, listen, you're a liar. I'm not believing any of your lies. And Lord, forgive me for saying some things in unbelief at times. In the name of Jesus, I believe God. Because, listen, we could be in the body of Christ serving God and have troubles. But listen, because you have trouble doesn't mean it's time to quit. But it's time to quit for me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day and this hour where we live in. We give you praise for the calling of God. And you have a specific call. We know that different men and women of God who have been called, they've had a hard time in life. And maybe it didn't go right the way they thought it would go. But sometimes people have let us down. But we're not going to let that happen to us. We're not going to let those things deter us or distract us from the call of God. And I'm sorry, sometimes people do leave you. And I'm sorry that sometimes people will disappoint us, but we're not going to keep our eyes on disappointments of people. We're going to look at what you said to do. We're responsible for what we're supposed to do. And so, Lord, we're going to show up at church. We're going to show up at our postings. We're going to serve the kids and the young adults and the elder people and do the television ministry and do the editing and greet people and go to our prayer meetings and bring our finances and be a blessing. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And so we just give our lives to you again. We just totally surrender our will to the plan of God. And though our ship might seem like it's going down, we're not going to go down. We might have some things challenging us, but thank you, Lord God, for the calling of God without repentance. So I want to thank you in the name of Jesus. We praise you. We appreciate your spirit. We thank you for your angels. And we plead the blood of Jesus over these people. And we thank you that they have inner resources. They're stronger than what they feel like. People here are stronger than what they feel like. And like the song, as they said, even when I don't feel it, even when I don't see it, I believe it. I believe your hand is upon me. I believe you're working for me right now. And things are in motion. You're helping out wherever there needs to be help in my life. Thank you, Lord God. You're great God, Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God. And so we thank you. And if there's someone here tonight that hasn't been born again, we pray that Jesus said, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. And if anybody's been away from God, say, Lord, forgive me, wash me, and clean me with the blood of Jesus. I turn to you. Forgive me of my unbelief. Forgive me of my sin. Whatever it is, I'm turning to you right now. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.